Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn. We are continuing our conversation with author Noah Halloran. Noah is a 17-year-old author, Richmond, Kentucky. My mom's going to like him because he's a Madison Central Indian, so that is her alma mater. But he wrote a book last year called Trailblazing Your Teen Years, Successful Habits to Launch Out of the Norms, Lead Ahead of the Pack, and Land into Your Destiny. And I was blessed to get a copy of this book from my friend Mike Hines, and he said, man, I really think he'd be a great guest for your program. And after reading the book, I totally agree with him. And we've been talking about this book, and if you need to be encouraged, you just kind of lost hope, you need to pick up a copy of this book. I really believe that you would be blessed by it. Yesterday, we talked about the importance of forming habits. It's never too late to start a good habit, and some really good information in yesterday's program based out of this book that Noah wrote. But if you missed that, I want to encourage you to go to our website, catch this 14-minute podcast. It's on our website, hopeishere.today. It's hopeishere.today. And we're going to talk some about defining success today, Noah. But one of the things I really liked in your book, at the end of each chapter, you kind of gave four or five bullet points with reinforcements, but then you also gave us a place to pause and ponder. Tell us, why did you put that in your book? I thought it was a great idea, but why did you decide to do that?
Well, I feel like it's always good to think and reflect on your life and the positive things that you're doing right and the negative things that you could do better. And I think we're all being taken from glory to glory to glory to becoming more like Christ every day.
Wow, that's a good word. Well, I love it. At the end of the first chapter, you have reinforcement. Setting good habits today sets us up for success tomorrow. And then you talked about the 21-90 rule. It takes 21 days to create a habit and 90 days to create a lifestyle. So, man, today I want to encourage you to start that 21 days, and it'll be here before you know it, 90 days. It's almost October, and so you'll be able to have a great lifestyle change if you do that. You talked about focus on doing your best and remember not to compare yourself to others, and then learn to act in fear of God and not react in fear of others. And no, I'll say to you, as a 55-year-old guy, I know teenagers, we all want approval, but people in their 50s like me do too. And we sometimes get in fear of what people think of us, but we need to just really be more making our decisions based on what God thinks, don't we?
Yes. It's always about what God thinks. That's all that matters.
Well, I love that. And then on the pause and ponder, you had list two habits you would like to develop, then list two habits you would like to break. And then you said, what realistic processes do you think would help you get there? So this book will definitely help you grow. You won't just learn. You have a chance to grow. So that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have Noah on there. Noah, you also talked about defining success in your book, chapter two. And, you know, you had a great quote there by Stephen Covey near the top of page 12. Can you share that quote that he had out of his best-selling book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People?
He said, "If you carefully consider what you want to be said of you in the funeral experience, you will find your definition of success."
What a great quote. Read that one more time for us.
"If you carefully consider what you want to be said of you in the funeral experience, you will find your definition of success."
One of my favorite quotes, one of my heroes, Wayne Smith, founding pastor of Southland Christian Church, used to say, Noah, he said, "I've done a lot of funerals, but I've never done one with a U-Haul behind the hearse. You can't take it with you." In other words, you know, we don't take all our toys, the cars we drive, our house that we want to live in, a big house. And all those things are nice, and God loves to bless us kids. But the fact of the matter is, you don't take anything with you. But it's a great question to ponder there. What would be said of you at your funeral? What would you want people to say? And I love that you also include a lot of scripture in your book, and you shared about what, you know, God says about that and our view of success in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Can you read that passage of scripture, please, for us? Philippians chapter 3, verse 8.
So this was by Apostle Paul, and he said, "I count all things to be a loss in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ."
I love what you went on and said after that verse in your book, too. It was really good.
Yeah, to Paul, everything was trash compared to knowing Jesus. Money, comfort, popularity, grades, trophies, and appearances were worthless and meaningless.
And that's such a great reminder today. And you talked about how knowing Christ trumped all, and no one or nothing could take that away from him. And I love you. You just made it real simple. Paul was a wise person. Maybe we should take note. You also want to talk in this chapter about success, about the importance of attitude. Share a little bit about attitude.
Well, it's all about being Christ-like in our daily life. And the more Christ-like we are, the more we'll have positive attitudes, and that will... And I said, positive attitudes invite positive results. Negative attitudes invite negative results. So we just need to be faithful to God in everyday circumstances, no matter what happens to us.
And you put in that same passage, or part of the chapter there, Philippians 4:13, one of my favorite verses. Can you share that with us?
I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength.
For somebody listening today, you need to just remember that. You may feel overwhelmed, just like, man, I want to have a good attitude, but I'm tired. Just doesn't seem like my circumstances are changing. But as Noah just read, Philippians 4:13, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Another thing that is so wise that you put in your book, and I really like that, you talked a little bit about what some of the things successful people do. You said you talked about successful people are continually learning. And then I also liked what you said about that, also what's important that successful people do.
Yeah, I also said that they find time to rest and recharge, which is successful people don't need to work 24 hours a day to find success. Like, God even told his people to rest on the seventh day. So incredible.
And that's a great reminder, and I confess to Noah and our listeners that that's a struggle for me sometimes, because I work on Sundays, a pastor of church, and so sometimes it's hard for me to get that Sabbath on another day, because Sunday is a work day for me, and yet I'm trying to do a better job with finding a day to have a Sabbath. Another thing you said, that besides successful people are continuing learning, you talked about it's important to be teachable. Mm-hmm. And, man, that's important even at my age, but also especially when you're a younger person like yourself, isn't it, to be teachable?
Yes, it is. What inspired me to write that quote was I was in a classroom and I saw a sign that says, "Even Einstein asked questions."
I love that quote. I love that quote. And you talked about having success in your job, and it's really important to really consider what we do for a career, because, man, we spend a lot of time at our job, don't we?
Yeah. I did some research, and I found that a third of our lives at work accumulate to 90,000 hours over the course of a lifetime.
90,000 hours. I mean, I underlined that when I read that. I started kind of doing the math with my own life, and I thought, yep, that is true. That most certainly is true. And but I think the thing that I really love, and this is why I wanted to have you on here, you give us some really hands-on practical things, but you also talked about what's also really important to discover.
Mm-hmm. I said, we need to discover and pursue God's purpose for our life, whether it's a shoemaker or a king. He views them as the same, as long as it's the plan he has for you.
Amen. You said life shouldn't revolve around our job, but around Jesus.
Yes.
And man, that is a winning combination. The J word, job, is super important, but I want to encourage you to include Jesus. And for those of you in listening today, maybe that's why your job's not going as well, because you're not including Jesus in it. And we can get so caught up in our work and being successful, but you had a great quote talking about, evaluating our time and importance and putting job in perspective. You shared a quote by Harold Samuel Kushner, a prominent Jewish American rabbi. Share that quote with us.
He said, "Nobody on their deathbed ever said, I wish I had spent more time at the office."
Read that one more time.
Nobody on their deathbed ever said, "I wish I had spent more time at the office."
For somebody listening today, that's just a reminder, you know what, you'll never get all your work done. Get done early. Go have dinner with your family, loved ones. Call your mother, your father, if you're fortunate enough to still have them alive, and make sure you get those priorities straight. And another thing that you shared to wrap up that chapter that I thought was really good, Noah, mm-hmm. share that with us.
Achieving success shouldn't make us sacrifice the things that matter the most. God, our relationships, and our health.
Such good stuff there. Just tuned in. We're talking with Noah Halloran. He wrote a book last year called Trailblazing Your Teen Years, Successful Habits Launch Out of the Norms, Lead Ahead of the Pack, and Land Into Your Destiny. I want to encourage you to pick a copy of that up. One of the things that I think people, whether they're 17 like you are or 55 like me, is discovering your identity. Talk a little bit to us about that and why you wrote that chapter in the book.
I feel like it's so important to know God and trust Him completely, because He'll guide us to all truth. Because it says, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And I believe He will guide us into what our plan is for His kingdom. And He'll find what we need to do to further His kingdom. And I wrote a quote that says, passion produces excellence, which leads to promotion.
Mm. Amen. That's really good. I love that. Mm-hmm. I like that you talked about, you know, about being normal. We shouldn't just try to be normal, that God mm-hmm. wants more for us. And you said, I don't know about you, but I want to break out of this normal mold. I want mm-hmm. to punch normal in the face and be fully alive, glorifying Jesus Christ through the authentic person I am. And I like that one, because as men, you know, sometimes we're physical and tough and all, but the most important part I liked about it is because, man, you have to be intentional about that, don't you? I mean, you'll wind up being normal if you're not intentional, have a plan, a purpose, and, you know, really mm-hmm. choose each day to do that. Have you found that to be true?
Mm-hmm. It's easy to get swept by the culture of the world, but God doesn't want us to be conformed to the world. He wants us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind.
Well, I love that you talked about that, and you shared a little bit yesterday about facing failure. I love that you talked about that in your book, and you had that experience, you know. Tell a little more detail about it, though. Like a lot of kids in Central Kentucky, you wanted to play basketball, but that just wasn't God's plan for you, was it?
No, it wasn't. I didn't make the basketball team 2 years in a row, my sixth and seventh grade year, and I started cross-country distance running. And I found that I was so much better at distance running than I was at basketball. So I just kept on going, and I still run distance. And it's been phenomenal. I'm so glad I didn't make the basketball team.
I love that. I love that. So maybe you've gone through a failure. You've got a young person that something hasn't worked out, and share Noah's story with them. Unfortunately, we're almost out of time, Noah. But what should people expect if they buy this book? What would you want people to know?
I think it will lay a blueprint for you to reach your maximum potential. Maybe you're confused or you don't know your next step, and I just think that you can be intentional about what you need to do to invest your time in meaningful things, and I think you will be transformed just with motivation and hope. That is the central theme of this radio station.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's why I wanted to have you on here, because I knew that it would give people hope. They read it. I was really blessed by it. I know lots of us have young people in our lives that were looking for a birthday gift. Christmas will be right around the corner. I want to encourage you to pick up a copy of this book. What's the best way to get a copy of this book, Noah?
Amazon.
All right. Simple enough. Amazon. We'll also have Noah's contact information if you want to contact him about maybe coming and speaking to your group or your church. So we're out of time, but I want to encourage you to pick up a copy of Trailblazing Your Teen Years by Noah Halloran. I'm Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.
If you have been blessed by Hope Is Here, would you consider making a donation to help this ministry continue to reach thousands in Central Kentucky every day? It's simple and safe. Go to our website at hopeishere.today, where you can make a safe and secure online donation, or you can find our address to mail a check. All donations are tax deductible, and they are greatly appreciated. Please make your donation today at hopeishere.today. Again, that's hopeishere.today.